the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought in association with the good friends at Berger Paints for lasting beauty and protection.
Looking to refresh your trowel finish? Well, look no further. Berger Brushing Solution is exactly what you need. This low-odor, fast-drying paint solution is a great way to renew and repaint in any color on interior and exterior textured surfaces. Available in coral stone and any shade from the color library. Visit the nearest color shop or hardware store to express yourself through color. Berger Paints, for lasting beauty and protection.
All right, so tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern Caribbean time, is going to be the West Indies up against England. Yes, a big, big match in the T20 World Cup. The question we're asking from Kingston, Jamaica, right through to Bridgetown, Barbados, can the West Indies beat England? Of course, they've got Nepal to play, who really gave England a scare. And they've also got Italy to play as well. So we've got a very interesting battle. The question I'm going to ask this evening, should we make any changes? We also want to look back at the first game when the West Indies played against Scotland. Were you happy with it? Are there any concerns? We shall see. I'm Andrew Mason. And of course, we've got our esteemed panel already join us. But just, gentlemen, before we actually discuss West Indies cricket, I found Vettel Laws. He's very much on Zoom with us. This is the young Chinaman and googly bowler who actually performed very, very well recently in the World Cup for the West Indies team. And I'm very, very excited to have him on the show. He's not going to be very long this evening. We certainly want to thank the Jamaica Cricket Association for ensuring that he's with us. So, gentlemen, we're going to go straight to him. Hello, Vettel. How are you? Good evening to you, sir. Hello? Vettel? All right.
Hello, good evening.
Hi, good evening to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Okay, good. All right. Well, first of all, congratulations on your pretty good performance there in the World Cup. You must be a very happy man.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
You must be a very happy man.
I am indeed.
All right. Well, tell us tell us about the performances at the World Cup. Were you, you certainly bowled pretty well. Did you enjoy the conditions?
Yeah. The conditions were a bit different from what I'm used to here in Jamaica, and from what I saw back in Grenada. But I think I did my assessing. I think I assessed it pretty well, and adapted pretty quickly in the short space of time I had.
All right. How were the conditions so different?
We were at higher altitude, so the ball traveled a bit quicker through the air. It was obviously a bit harder to breathe. So the pitches didn't take spin as much as in the Caribbean. So that was the difference I had to get used to.
I see. Well, you certainly bowl pretty well. Why the choice to bowl Chiman and Googlies? Of course, you know, West Indians are known for their big fast bowlers. You've got the off spinner and of course, the leg spinner. But you've gone bowling Chinamen and Googlies. What inspired you to do that?
Pretty first. Yeah, started back when I was young, about 4 years old. I used to watch CPL on TV. in Jamaica. I used to see Adam Zampa bowling, and I wanted to do what he was doing. But the only difference was I used left hand.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just imitating with my left hand. Mm-hmm. But at that time, I didn't know what I was doing. Until later down, people tell me I was doing something special.
Oh, well, very, very interesting. So is Zampa your favorite cricketer?
Not at the moment, but I still look up to him. I see how Mary's bowling.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, I'm going to leave it there. I'm, of course, we ain't going to keep you too much longer, but I know that Dr. Ford or even my good friend Philip Spoon, who joins us, may want to ask a question. Let's go to Philip. Philip, any questions for young Vatel Laws?
Good evening, Andrew. Thank you for having me, and good evening to all the listeners. No real question, but it was really wonderful to see him bowl, and I must say it's hugely impressive. I mean, I think the last tournament bowler we had in the region was Dennis Buller, who was also Jamaican. I don't know if Laws ever met him, but that would be a good person to hang out with. But what was it like in Namibia and then over to Zimbabwe would be my question. Like, what was the team morale? Like, how did you enjoy each other's company? And, you know, what did you come away from Zimbabwe with that you think you can put in play going forward?
The team is pretty different to what I'm used to back in Jamaica. There's a lot of banter coming through the series, coming up to the World Cup. What I can take forward is the work ethic. Up there, the work ethic is a bit different. People are a lot more determined, you know.
And you played 50 over cricket, obviously, in the World Cup. There are other formats, obviously, that you can play. There's T20, there's 4-day cricket with the red ball. Do you have a preference, or you just enjoy being out there and being in the competitive environment? You seem to be a competitor, firstly, and a spinner, secondly. You seem to got that extra edge, you know, for the battle. How do you see yourself? You see yourself as witty, clever, smart, you know, but you seem to have that edge that's very necessary in terms of being a competitor.
It's the competitiveness is from the club I'm from in Jamaica. Thank you, PP Club. They are very competitive in training. I think that's where I got the activity from. As to the format I prefer, I don't really prefer a format. I have a specific format, but mm-hmm. I would rather play a longer format of a game, like in the early stages now. I'd like to play a longer format to get more time to develop my skills mm-hmm. going forward.
Thank you very much. I want to wish you all the best going forward. And I know you're in very good hands with Robert Haynes and Nikita Miller, so mm-hmm. we look forward to seeing much more of you in the future. Congrats and all the best.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right, Doc, a quick question for young Vatel before he goes. Anything you want to ask the young man?
Good afternoon to the panel and to listeners. I'd like to ask him what has been most important so far in the development of his craft?
The most important thing has to be discipline. I mean, my coach reiterates that to me every day, that I should be disciplined, stay humble, and believe in myself. Those are just the main things I go by.
Is there any mentorship that you can have? I mean, other spinners that you've met either at home or abroad that have helped you and given you any pointers on the game?
Well, not really. The most influential person, as I said before, was Nikita Miller. He has been the one who was mentor me cricket-wise before the England series and to the World Cup. Mm-hmm. And he's still here ensuring that I am on the right path.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to wish you all the best. Your breath of fresh air, something special that the regional cricket has been crying out for, an unusual spinner. And I was impressed with what you did. I urge you to keep working. And I hope that Cricket West Indies will try to help you to develop and expose you in a way that will assist you. And I'm glad that you said you want to do the longer format, because mm-hmm. with your craft control, it will be one of your strong points once you get the control, and then you could work on variety afterwards. So I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Right. And Vatel, just before you go, you must be very happy You're making the 2026 ICC Under-19 World Cup team. That must be very good. You know, I see Cricket West Indies sent out. Congratulations to you. Must be on top of the world with that achievement.
Yes, I'm very happy with that achievement. I mean, going into the World Cup, Nikita Miller would have told me that it should be my main goal, go there and be like one of the top performers. So whenever people look back at the 2026 INT World Cup, I should be a name that dish. It would call.
Mm-hmm. Right. And outside of cricket, are you still at school, Vidal?
Yes, I'm actually at school training as we speak.
Oh, say that again. You're
at school training as we speak.
Oh, yeah, school training. Well, I wish you all the best. We are excited to see those Chinamen and those Googlies, and we wish you well going forward.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Right. So there you have Vatel Lords, the Chinaman and Googly Bowl. Of course, Bulai from Jamaica used to bowl a bit. I was asking about him today, and they said that he's actually coaching now. And of course, when you go back, he would have had someone like Inchinali, would have when the 70s would have played, of course, for the West Indies team. Thanks to you, Vatel Lords of the Jamaica, the 18-year-old Jamaica left-arm wrist spinner, doing very well, stand-up performance, and making the 2026 ICC Under-19 World Cup team of the tournament. Thanks to you. All right, we're going to move on, gentlemen. Of course, Carlos Brathwaite has joined us there. He's at the World Cup. I know he's a busy man. It's maybe time for him to go to sleep, so we ain't going to keep him too much longer. Let's go straight to Carlos. Carlos, good to have you on, Mason, and guess where are you now exactly, Carlos?
Good night. In Mumbai, just right. Landed tonight.
Right, and no doubt looking forward to for the big game, West Indies versus England.
Yeah, it's a big game, and I think it can show exactly where West Indies is at. We're seeing a lot of good things and some other things rearing the head that are not so good, but in the past, we found ways to lose them games against Scotland and games against teams that we should beat. So it was good to see the boys find a way to get over the line. Mm-hmm. But I think this will be a sterner test, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Let's look back quickly before we go to other members who would want to ask a question. In terms of the game against Scotland, were you happy with the performance against the West Indies? Against Scotland, sorry.
Happy with the result.
Yeah.
Happy with the result. Happy with some of the personal performances. But I think the power play is a real cause for concern. We look at the IPL and the scores that were scored in the IPL. Obviously, international cricket is a notch up, so I expect them scores to come down a little bit. I think the other thing that myself and a lot of other people don't make the predictions, didn't take into consideration is the time of the year as well. Mm-hmm. The pitches don't seem to be as flat. So the scores that we were expecting based off the last couple IPL seasons, we may not get because of the time of the year. With that being said, the best teams in the tournament will put bowlers under pressure regardless of conditions in the power play. And I think with two of our better batters, Shea Hope and Brandon King, at the top of the order, I think I'd like to see a little bit more intent. You come up against better bowling than the Scots, you can get less bad balls. And if we can't find a way to show intent against Scotland, it can be twice as hard to do so against England. And if you move on against the New Zealands, Australias, etc. So for me, that was one point of concern. One of the things that I loved, though, was the dynamic middle order. So Hetmyer 3, Rodman Powell 4. I had a conversation with Rodman when we played together. He'd run and bat at 4 and 5, and the leg spin would give him a challenge. And I always tell him, drop down and drop down. And he took the challenge for a number of years. And that kind of culminated with him getting 100 in Barbados against Adil Rashid, one of the best leg spinners of our time. And I feel like it's time now that we give Rodman Powell a little bit more responsibility. If it's none for two after two balls, send Rodman Powell at 4. We watched Australia do it to us in the Caribbean, where they had a dynamic batting lineup. And Mitchell Owen, who scored 100 opening in Big Bash, was batting at 5 and 6. And they almost went hard from ball one all the way to the last over. So I think we got to find a way. And this batting lineup, I think, is or presents the opportunity for us to go hard from the inception and go all the way down. If you get Brandon King and Shea Hope batting the 10th over, at some point in time they can kind of drop anchor and that's fine. But then they got so much dynamism around them that we should still be looking to get 180 more consistently.
Just before I go to Philip or any members for questions, my final question for the time being, would you make any changes to the side for tomorrow's game?
Not sure. I think one of the things that we kind of was trying to work out in the commentary box in the first game is was West Indies' strongest 11. Myself and a few others thought that Ross and Chase would be in our strongest 11, but then it takes away a little bit of that dynamism that I just spoke about in the middle order, and it's almost like using Roston as a fail safe. I think he would have replaced the Marlon Samuels archetype of, the successful era in T20 before. And I just wonder if we trust a Robin, if we trust a Robin Powell and a Shane Hetmyer, do we need that fail safe? Like, are we bold enough to say we may be bowled out for 110 in the tournament at least once? And if we can spare that embarrassment, we know that we can score 180 more often than not. Or are we happy to be a team that gets 150, 160 consistently, which may not be a winning total? So I see Roston Chase, Moti, and Matthew Ford almost as three persons for two places. I suspect if there's a team with a lot of left-handers, you may see a Roston Chase slide in more for his bowling, and maybe Matthew Ford or Moti slide out. But I think it's a good problem to have, and he started the tournament. I think they went for the positive option, so I wouldn't change it. For just for changing it, see it.
Okay, so for you, the same team that played against Scotland, you play against England.
Yeah.
All right, good. Carlos, of course, we got Dr. Ford any questions, or Philip, any questions for Carlos?
Good night, Carlos, and really wonderful of you to join us. Must be
No
past.
spoons.
I spoke to Darren Sammy in South Africa a couple of days ago, and the question keeps coming up because he keeps answering it, so it keeps coming out everywhere he goes. But I asked him point blank. I said, "Have you finally parked 2016 in the rearview mirror, and are you dealing with 2026?" And he flatly said he cannot park 2016 because it's the greatest moment of his life. And obviously, for you own the greatest moment in T20 cricket history. I mean, nobody will ever hit four sixes again to win a World Cup. It is not going to happen. As you go around, I mean, have you parked 2016 and is 2026 in your mind, or how do you reflect on 2016 considering everything that is presently being played?
I appreciate the kind words, Spoons. It hard to park it, like anything. I struggle in the years after 2016 trying to do just that, like trying to shove it on the back burner. You still got a career to go on, and everywhere you go, people just run like is like Carlos Braffitt as a name don't really resonate. It's actually remember the name that is the name. Like people will call you remember the name more than they'll call you Carlos or Carlos Braffitt. So it's hard to say park it and like kind of ignore it from that standpoint, because you're just being reminded of it. So yeah, it was a good moment. For me personally, obviously, going into the commentary box, so I don't got a direct influence on what happens on the field. I just trying to call it and maybe give someone the moment that Bish gave me. For Sammy, I would hope that he able to see the differences between 2016 and 2026 because the game has moved on. And if you look at the personnel, in 2016, we had some of the best players in T20 history all peaking at the same time, who were all IPL stalwarts, new India, and basically once they came to the party, his job as captain was easy. Phil's job as coach would have been easy as well. Whereas now him as coach are coaching some not younger, they've got a lot of games behind them, but they're not at the peak of the powers, and they're not as scary as the group that we had, like you talk about any franchise league and you talk about Bravo, Pollard, who obviously was it, they actually replaced him, and you talk about all the other guys that was there, Russell's, Badries, etc. And you look at franchise cricket now, and not all of our players get bought all the time. So it's a completely different scenario. The only similarity I see is that West Indies aren't favourites, much like we weren't in 2016. So I hope that he can park it from the standpoint of understanding the different challenge and trying his best to find a way to get the same result, but potentially in a different manner.
Well, Carlos, I'll tell you, I spoke to some of the boys recently, and everybody's still remembering you. So none of your teammates have parked it. They're all still singing your praise. I spoke to Marlon last week on his birthday, and he said, thank God for Carlos, because he saved me. He saved me. He helped to save me. And, so the guys are still remembering you. I spoke to Jason as well in Johannesburg, and Jason rated it as the best moment of his life. He said, Carlos gave me the best moment of my cricket life. So I can tell you the boys still remember you, and they will remember you forever. And they said, you own.
I will go say one of Spoons. My wife would want to think that my wedding day was the best
moment. Well said. I love that one.
but as I said, you own the greatest moment in the format, and nobody can take that away from you. It just was the most magnificent thing that we will ever see in a World Cup final. Nobody, it's never going to happen any better than that. So I really appreciate you for taking the time to join us. And I enjoy listening to you in the commentary as well. You're very insightful, and your comments really take us to the modern version of T20 cricket, even with a bit of nostalgia looking back at what we saw and did before. So appreciate much.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate us.
Yeah, Doc, any questions? Have we got Don Topley in the line? We got to get an English perspective pretty soon. Yeah, Doc, any questions for Carlos?
Carlos, if we assume and accept that England has more batting firepower than we do, what can we do from a bowling aspect to restrict them or dismiss them to give us a better chance to pull off the win?
That's a very good question, because I think that will be our Achilles heel in this tournament. I heard Bravo say it on a podcast, and it's a conversation that I've had offline with Sammy and a few other the think tank. I still don't think we've identified one, a death bowler that we know we can throw the ball to at any situation in overs, 17 and 19 or 18 and 20, and back him that 8 out of 10 times he'll deliver. Whatever that skill set may be, Yorkers, short balls, slow balls, whatever. 2016, we had Bravo. England had Chris Jordan. You look at what Sam Curran did the other night. He did the same thing in 2022. I feel like every good white ball team, especially T20, has a good death bowler, reliable, and they have a good wrist spinner. I don't think we have either. So the conversations in the past have been, if we know that we can struggle in overs 15 to 20, then we've got to try to get wickets between overs 1 to 15. And the challenge with that is that I see four bowlers in the squad who all want to do the same thing. So Jaden Seals, who obviously didn't play, but Akil Hussain, Matthew Ford, and Jason Holder all want to bowl the new ball. Their best time to bowl first two or three overs. So then when Akil Hussain comes on to bowl in the 10th over, you basically force him to bowl with one hand because he ain't got the new ball to swing in and spin away. But if you ask Matthew Ford to bowl afterwards, same thing. And then you got Jason Holder who broke the record for the most T20 wickets in a calendar year, who also wants to bowl the new ball. So it's almost like we stacking overs 1 to 10, yes, but we got 20 people for that job. So then it's only 3 overs you could bowl. It's not 50 over cricket where you got 2 new balls. So I see it as a blessing and a curse, deciding who are the 2 people that can take that new ball, who are those 3 people potentially that can bowl the first 4 overs. And then, funny enough, overs 5 and 6 hardest. So, certainly power play going to be important. And I think we need to get wickets. So, whoever we decide to go with, that person needs to get wickets. I could see it being Matthew Ford and Jason Holder again, because it looks as though Butler has a liking for Akil Hussain. When we played against England in the Caribbean, he'd reverse sweep him, he'd put him under real pressure, just like Maxwell did for Australia. So I suspect they'll probably go double pace with Ford and Holder again. But I wouldn't mind Akil Hussain for one over, a cheeky one over, because we won't get wickets if we get England 60 for four in the power play. That's a win. It's very
Okay.
unrealistic to think we can have them 45 for one.
But if you look at Moti and Hussain, Moti is more economical. Economy builds pressure, can get wickets, and Moti can bowl at different times. I believe that maybe having that off spinner, even though you may say Chase isn't a world ranked off spinner in every aspect, that I think the one change should really be Chase for Hussain.
Interesting.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, from what I know said, with too many new ball bowlers, and then bringing an off spinner in there to switch it up. But I just feel like Akil Hussain's body of work is so much that you gotta feel as though he'll win your game at some point in time. So it's not a bad decision to make from a technical standpoint. This is how we want to play. These are the horses for courses. I just feel like in a tournament like this, let me put it this way, Suleiman Ben wasn't rated half as highly as Akil Hussain was, but he played, I think, every single game in 2016, because that was your banker, that was your only left arm spinning option, and you basically knew what you got from Ben. So with a body of work like Akil Hussain, I think it can be difficult for the management to say have a rest. They will probably drop Moti more so than they would drop Akil. But if that were to happen, it would be a very brave call. And after the way that they approached the first game, I would support it in the second game as well, trying to attack with Chase in the middle, freeing up the two new ball bowlers to have a free run in Ford and Holder, and backing Roston with the off spin in the middle, and then extra batting in the bottom.
Okay, let's go to Don Topley. We've got to get an English perspective. We're going to come to you quickly now, Philo, and of course Basil. Don, you've been listening. Say hello to Carlos, your good friend. Don?
Yes, a very good evening to all of you, to the panel, and in particular Carlos. Last time I saw him was an evening social activity up at the Haymarket towards St. Lucy. So good evening
Really?
to you. And I was in Eden Gardens, Kolkata. I was a father supporting my son playing. He was 12th, 13th man in that famous final. And Carlos broke the English hearts. But my word, what a wonderful historical moment to see him witness hitting those sixes at the end. And that was after a magnificent over, penultimate over by Chris Jordan that only went for seven. And I was sitting next to Owen Morgan's fiancée, and I suggested to her that our mortgages are safe. It doesn't bear me telling you that I've become homeless since 2016. Well played, Carlos. As for tomorrow, listen, the West Indies have travelled across from Kolkata to Mumbai. So there's a bit of a journey there. And of course, England played that first game in Mumbai. So I'm expecting to see that England will play on the same wicket. I'll be surprised if it's a brand new strip, but I think it might be the used one against Nepal. So, you talking about Chase or Moti or Akil Hussain, who is magnificent as a left-arm spinner. Not massively spinning it, but he does a great job in the power play. And I think that is, historically, he has been brilliant for the West Indies in the power play. So you can't ignore that. From the English side, Bethell got some runs. Brook is in a bit of form. I've watched him in Sri Lanka when England played those ODIs and the T20s. Brook is in some nick. He's playing quite well. Despite all the criticism for his captaincy, but Curran's doing quite well. But Butler, you talked about being worried about Butler. Do you know what? Butler may have got in on a few occasions this winter, but he hasn't made a telling contribution. Clearly he's good enough, but I would say to you, is Jos Buttler definitely in form? We don't know. He hasn't got any proof this winter. But I'm England have gone with their team already. We've announced it. Overton comes back in. Overton, for me, isn't a very effective cricketer. But when he bowls, he either bowls short or full. So he is hittable. And I don't think any of the West Indies will be too worried about his pace short of a length. But he doesn't always find the in-between length. He's going to be opening the bowling, and we've got Jofra there. That's good. But when we were in Sri Lanka bowling with Sam Curran and Jamie Overton taking the new ball, do you know what? That is two bowlers who don't open the bowling in white ball cricket for their county. So I'm desperately pleased to see Jofra's back and fit and raring, and he will be certainly, motivated to play against the West Indies tomorrow. But Luke Wood, the left-armer, isn't playing, and Jamie Overton is. I'll be interested to see how the West Indies play, because I think they will enjoy playing against Jamie Overton.
Mm. Carlos, what kind of pitch? Go ahead, Carlos.
I think Luke Wood would be a miss.
You think so? Why, Carlos? Yeah, why do you think he's
left arm?
He's
short. He's skiddy. Swings the ball. So he's one of those bowlers that he will say two up, two down. You're running a ball two overs in the power play. Swing the ball back in, and then he can try to close out at the end using the left arm angle. I guess with Sam Curran in there is not like a point of difference per se being left-handed. And then with Joff being there, the pace is not a point of difference either. So he kind of fall in the middle, but in most teams, he would be a point of difference. I just feel like when I look at Shea and Brandon, swinging the ball back into them would be an Achilles heel of such for both of them. And I know Joff is very proficient at doing that. But Luke Wood is somebody that could definitely prize out two early scalps, especially those two. And then all of a sudden, you're asking Hetmyer, Rovman, and the rest of the middle order to face the new ball, face the power play, and basically show me what you got. With Overton, he's somebody that I would see more as like a middle overs bowler. Yes. I see him replacing the role that Plunkett did for England between 2015 and 2019, when England won the 50-over World Cup. You run in, hit the deck, it'd be uncomfortable. There will be a game where you can go for some runs and get pulled for the odd six, but he's uncomfortable to face, whether cross seam or seam up, the odd cutter into the wicket, but you know it's going to be that back part of that 7 to 8 meter length, maybe even shorter, and you got to rock back and pull a few balls, and depending on if it's pace on, cross seam, seam up, you can react off the wicket differently, and you've got three men back, you pull me if you want. So you can see what they're going with Jamie Overton, probably trying to bowl short at Hetmyer, Rovman, Shepherd, but I don't know, I think if you're going power play works, unless they're backing Sam Curran, swing the ball back like a Luke Wood, and they feel as though Jamie Overton will give them an extra over in the middle that Luke Wood can't.
Carlos, I think you're right there. I think you'll find Sam Curran will open with Joff. They'll try Jamie Overton, but England's banker in the power play, they often bring in Liam Dawson, who's been, we're so pleased. People are so pleased to see one of the most effective streetwise cricketers back playing for England. And that, you know, we've missed him really. And Liam Dawson will do a good job. With Jamie, I do worry, Jamie Overton, I do worry if he, you know, he'll either bowl short or full. And what he does with short, Mumbai, as you know, is not particularly big boundaries.
Yeah.
I second that
Liam Dawson thing. I've played with him. I had the privilege of playing with him. He's one of the nicest men in cricket, goes about his work. Was out of the England team for a while. No tweets, no rebelling. Just put his head down, and it was only a matter of time to throw some fancy names out there and carry on this tour and that tour and ignore his numbers with ball and bat. But good things happen to good people eventually, so good to see him get any chance, and as everyone thought he would, taking it properly.
Mm-hmm. Philo?
That's a very interesting concept there, that discussion, because I remember very clearly back in 2016, it almost worked. Remember Carlos Moeen Ali was bowling extremely well against
mm-hmm.
Gale.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Moeen went 3.5 overs for 15. And then Gale just, stamped his authority, and the next three balls went for 18.
Mm-hmm.
All three way back into the top tier. So it's a concept, obviously, that England play with and play well with. Obviously, Adil Rashid is going to come in after that and look to get the bag of wickets. But I remember very well Gale waited and waited and waited. England had a bag of seam bowlers, Stokes and the lot, Chris Jordan. And Chris just waited and waited. And, Moeen had it on a string and he was baiting. And then bang, bang, bang. Out of the ground, and the game was over. The 180 that West Indies was chasing was wiped off in a hurry. Gale made 100 off 48 balls. And that completely changed the dynamic of that game and the approach for the rest of the tournament. West Indies went, went on a roll. Fletcher made a match winning innings, and then, other people chipped in here and there. The only loss was to Afghanistan in a game that you didn't have to win. But I know England will come with that strategy again, as discussed earlier, and who from the West Indies is going to take the bull by the horns and look to rough up people and get after them is left to be seen. But Hetmyer is an excellent player of spin. He's in tremendous form. He's very, very focused. He's been challenged by his teammates to go at number three and win us games. And he's done, he's won two over the last four. So is he the man tomorrow to play that blinder again? We'll wait and see. But it's a challenge that England are going to throw to the West Indies. But the team that they've picked, as Carlos and Don said, Liam Dawson is going to be that man in the middle looking to tie up things. And somebody's going to have to take him down.
Mm-hmm. Philo.
Hi, good evening, Andrew. Good evening to your panel. Welcome, Carlos. Hello to Boogie Boy Heaven and Sherlock Hart. Andrew, we sat here and we planned West Indies T20 game for tomorrow. I hope that they're planning it too.
Mm.
One question I have to ask, Carlos. Mumbai, the Wankhede Stadium. I know it's a different time of the year, Carlos, and that's my concern. It's not in the IPL season, that window. What do you think the conditions would be like at Wankhede? What would they offer West Indies?
Well, to be honest, against Nepal, we thought England would go out there and play loads of shots, get up to 200 plus, and we saw the Nepalese spinners getting some grip. Liam Dawson getting some grip as well. I think Adil Rashid could turn the ball on water, so you don't really check the pitch based off if the ball turns from him or not. But it had a little bit more in it than we thought it would. And if what Toppers is saying is true, that they're going to reuse that pitch again, I just wonder if our team selections might be slightly different. Maybe a Matthew Ford or a Shamar Joseph might go and make way and Roston play with Akil and Moti, because it's been giving us a little bit more turn than we expected. Normally, the Wankhede is flat. You put down 200, and Spoons was in 2016, if you remember, when India got 190 or something.
190, like that. They got 190, and Badri says 20 short.
Yeah, oh dear.
That was the general consensus. Mm-hmm. Them come over here short, and everybody was talking at the halftime about how much tools India ran and all that. And then we just come out hit sixes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the difference is now England hits a lot of sixes, but they also run the twos. So if it becomes a contest where the ball is gripping a little bit more, and you're gonna be a little bit smarter and a little bit cuter in the way you go about your batting middle overs and mix the six hitting with dropping the ball in between mid wicket and running twos, then that's where England would defeat us, and that's where they have in the past. Mm-hmm. If we can get it down to a six hitting slog, I'm backing our middle order to match and maybe even surpass the England middle order.
Philo, would you make any changes to the team for tomorrow?
Andrew, well, given that they might use it the same pitch that England played in the first played on in the first game.
Mm-hmm.
You're tinkering a bowling unit that obviously you upsets. I would not make any changes.
Okay.
I would not bring in Ross to chase into this as yet. I'm not happy with this form. Mm-hmm. I think that we have to, West Indies have to stick to the winning formula. The formula worked. In Kolkata, and they need to give it another try.
Mm-hmm.
My only thing, Andrew, is that Akil Hussain has gone to a different role. He's not using that new ball anymore, and I would like to know if that is affecting him, that he is not being as effective up front as he is bowling in those middle overs, or the batters of world cricket,
mm-hmm.
Carlos, have decided to bat Akil Hussain different. Take more chances against him, obviously they're becoming successful. Akil Hussain will be only my bugbearer if he's not as effective as he used to be, and he's not at the top of the order board. What is your take on Akil Hussain?
Well, I see him different bowlers, but I see him similar to Badri. And his bones cast in mind, but we have tried bowling Badri in the middle. He's a wrist spinner, you know, shape and conform to this bowling between seven to 15. But Badri's prowess was with that new ball, wicket to wicket, bowling through in the power play. And when you take him away from that, you take away some of the potency. So I think a conversation needs to be had. And we don't know if these conversations are being had or not. We ain't privy to what's going on inside the dressing room. But I don't think you count Akil Hussain and all he's done in the game and his numbers and his impact as just a left arm spinner, and then ask him to bowl at every different phase other than the phase he's most proficient in, which is the new ball. So Akil Hussain is most potent with the new ball. If he isn't going to bowl the new ball, then that's where the question comes in. Does he have a place in the 11 as secure as I thought it was? But the first suggestion for the panel was Hussain out, Chase in. So that means there's some sort of mental thinking that Hussain can be dropped, which in probably 6 to 12 months ago, that wouldn't even be a topic for discussion.
Agreed. So
how can we platform our players the best would be the conversation. Yeah.
I think he has to play. He's our highest ranked bowler. He's the only bowler we've got in the top 20. And he has been our highest ranked bowler for more than 18 months. I mean, Badri used to be so effective. People used to say Badri would be the perfect player in a super sub situation. Bowl your four and get off. You know, four for 15, 2 wickets and get off. Go home, have a show. Hussain must, in this present incarnation, in this present setup, in this tournament, Hussain must play as many games as he's physically able to, because he is the banker and he gives you the option. He will be effective. I think he will get wickets. I think the more people want to come after him, the more effective it makes him. If they want to sit on him and wait and then make him come back then for a second spell, it could be taken down to a certain extent. But I think if you have a guy who has proven his ability since you played the last World Cup, he's been your best bowler for 2 years. He's the only one ranked in the top tier of ICC cricket. I mean, that must count for something.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not a bad batsman either. He can give you some runs down at the bottom if required. So I think I don't think he's a man to drop. As was rightfully said, if you need to rotate or you need to shift around, it has to come in the triangle there with Matthew Ford, Morty, you know, and Jaden Seals in that little triangle there. If you're looking with Chase, you know, and it makes that warrior thing. So
the question I have for you though, Philip, hasn't this bowler gone off the boil?
Hussain? He's not the bowler he was a while back, but he's not a bad option, if you get what I'm saying.
Okay.
Shea Hope hasn't made a big score recently, but Shea Hope is your best batsman.
Yes.
You understand where I'm coming from?
Would you want to see Hussain bowl at the top or in the middle, Philip?
I want him bowling in the power play where he specializes, where he's comfortable, where he gets his wickets, where he's most effective. They must go back to that template. And I think he will deliver more often than not.
So tomorrow then, Philip, you want to see Hussain and who open the bowling?
Hussain opening the bowling.
Along
Ford
with?
Played Ford. Ford swings it a bit and the Wankhede offers something.
Right.
It's a night game. So they will be due. The nature of Mumbai, the climatic conditions, the ball, they will be due. You can't help it. But right. you turn your back in the second innings, the men definitely need a washcloth because they're going to be drying. It's Mumbai at night. It plays that way. This is the second of six games in Mumbai. So as was said before, they're likely to use the same pitch and they're going to rotate and go further east, which is going to make it a lopsided ground. One side is going to be, by the semifinal, one side is surely going to be about 60, the other side going to be about 75. So it's that kind of a ground. It's a very small, intimate ground. There will be a lot of sixes, as Kerala said, but in our bowling, I think Hussein bowling the new ball is a major asset as opposed to him bowling down. Later down, he can go for runs later down. He clearly is lacking a bit of confidence. So the responsibility of the unit and the teammates is to boost him with confidence and send him out there and let him do the job.
All right, just before we continue, let's pause for our first business cause, and we come back. Of course, we'll continue the discussion. We'll open the lines as well. 441-790. Mr. and guest, Broad Association with the good friends at Berger Paints for lasting beauty and protection.
Choose performance that lasts. Choose Berger, made in the Caribbean, formulated to provide superior weather resistance in harsh tropical conditions. Guaranteed to protect against and deter fungal and algal growth to meet the needs of residential and commercial spaces. Berger transforms your spaces with a wide selection of colors in brands you know and trust, built to withstand that busy lifestyle. Virtually odorless, thousands of colors, premium performance are at your fingertips when you choose Berger. Berger Paints, for lasting beauty and protection.
All right, the question I've got, should we prefer to bat or bowl first? I know you've got concerns about our bowling. Basil, in terms of what you saw from Scotland and looking forward to the England game, any concerns, Basil?
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening to the panel. I want to say a special good evening to Mr. Carlos Braffitt. We say Guyana Braffitt, I guess y'all say Braithwaite.
Yeah.
And I want to tell him that he will remain, because in my cricket circles, we gave him a nickname.
What was that?
Those four sixes. We call him Four Balls. So he will always be, when anybody asks us, what does that mean? We tell them, you remember those four sixes? So if someone of us could have made a calypso, we would have titled the calypso with that name there. But I don't think that my problem in terms of the discussion here regarding Hussein, as a coach, you want to put your players in the position where they could be most successful. Hussein, more than anyone on that team, has been successful with the new ball. And to take him out of that context, even though he has not been as the sharp razor blade guy we've seen in previous times, is I think is taking away his effectiveness. And you could see it. It's almost when you watch him when he comes on to bowl, it's almost like he's not in his right space, right? But when he gets that new ball, there's a whole different story with him. And I will hope they will reconsider that, because that's where he made his name, in the playing with the new ball. But in terms of what you ask about Scotland, the thing about the Scotland game that was a little, that came up, Carlos spoke about that, the Achilles heel of our team, and I said that previously, was our bowling. And one time there when Barrington and Bruce was going, it looked like West Indies would lose the game.
Oh, dear.
Right? You know, but, you know, this is one of the things that is really interesting about the World Cup is that these teams, even though the quote-unquote minnows, etc., some of them is just a matter of a drop catch, and those kind of things can make the difference. Because, for example, the USA India game, had that guy caught that return catch for Sky, I think India would have been bowled out for less than 100.
Oh, dear.
And USA would have won that game.
Oh.
One miscatch, right? So, same with Scotland. Those two guys are going good until, I don't know what they were thinking at the time, some of the shot selection. They had the one earlier where he tried to hit. This was Ireland game I'm talking about. When Ireland was playing, Ireland was looking good. the guy Adair. Then he played as well. I said, I made a joke to one of my friends. The Guyana Sugar Corporation would send an application for him because he looked like a great cane cutter with that shot that he played at that moment. There was no need. Ireland was ahead of the game, and he wanted to, like, finish the game today. So, you know, these games are so tight, and you have to make the plays in the key positions. And West Indies, they won't have the margin of error against England. Adil Rashid, for example, is not going to, I don't think he's going to have two bad games in a row. You know, he's so good of a bowler. So we should be expecting an Adil Rashid at the more upper echelon of his game come tomorrow. So we got to tighten up that power play as discussed earlier. We got to be a lot better. 33 runs cannot work in a World Cup. We got away because it was Scotland. We can't do that against a better team like England.
I agree. Carlos, would you want to bat or bowl first? West Indies.
I'd want us to be chasing, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I feel as though if we bat first and score 210, that we can't really trust our bowlers against England. So, yeah, I'd want to bowl first, where you're allowed to be defensive and you're bowling first. And then if they get up to 190, 200, we back our batters to have a good power play, a dynamic middle, and you're trusting the Jason Holders and Romario Shepherds at the back end to close out with bat in hand. But if I had to flip that and West Indies need to defend 50 in the last three, I'm not sure we could defend it.
I agree,
Carlos. We got a bat to win this World Cup. We can't bear and have a win this World Cup defending.
Oh, dear. Toppers, would you want to bat or ball first for England? It doesn't matter.
Look at the wicket first to see if it's a used one. That may come into your decision-making at the toss if you win the toss. You may want to bat first if it looks as if it's going to take a bit of spin. It may not spin so much later when there's dew around. But listen, can I just mention about your fielding?
Sure.
Sometimes I've been a little critical of some drop catches or a little bit of a silly bit of fielding. But listen, the other day, the West Indies have been taking some good catches. And I think that's a bit of a thermometer of a side. And if you're taking good catches, special catches, then listen, there might be a little bit of confidence going on within the group. I don't think, look, I've watched England for a long time, and right at this moment they beat Sri Lanka, but you should not be scared of England. They can get it badly wrong, believe me.
Stoppers, would you have omitted Wood?
No. And I hope that came across when I introduced Overton. Overton is a very effective cricketer. He is very selfless. He will go out there and smack it.
Mm-hmm.
But playing Overton, we lengthen our batting lineup. But with Wood playing, we then have a better bowling, especially new ball bowling, and especially a bit later. I think he's a better death bowler than Overton. For me, I think England have chosen Overton for the batting, extra batting down the bottom.
Oh.
And he's an outstanding fielder. He's an outstanding athlete, but I see it as a little bit more negative. He's a very effective cricketer, but I would want Wood in my side with his new ball swinging. He's a better death bowler. But, you know, I want your better bowling unit.
Mm-hmm. All right, 4417 90, just past 7 o'clock. You can give us a call and participate in the show, no question about that. Carlos, any concerns about the West Indies fielding? I note with interest that Toppers talk about the catching, but are you happy with the fielding? Are you concerned?
I mean, two of the better fielders drop fairly easy catches in Matthew Ford and Jason Holder.
Mm-hmm.
But Hetmyer did take a blinder. And in general, it wasn't it wasn't one of them performances in the field where I'd say it was absolutely brilliant or it was diabolical. I just think Hetmyer's cap stood out.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's Scotland, so I'd Matthew Ford being forced to pay with that easy chance that he dropped or Jason Holder running back at a crucial time. Then we might be saying down here, saying catches win matches. So for me, it wasn't as much as a thermometer. It was more so for Hetmyer. Like, I've seen him work very, very hard on his fielding. When we played together in Dubai, running extra laps. And for me, I had to remark on it when I asked one of the questions. His fitness is improved.
Yes.
So now the effort that he was making in the field before, he now adding speed to it because he's a little lighter. I think it's more clarity of thought because he's thinking better for longer. So for Hetmyer, I think that game as a whole, it was more a thermometer of where he is, the way he batted, the way he took that catch, the way he fielded. I thought it was more about him than it being like a complete fielding performance. A topic that we haven't mentioned that I'm not sure if anyone picked up, but we saw it at the ground. Matthew Ford padding up to go in as like a pinch hitter. I think he did it in South Africa either once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
So that may be another dynamic that we're missing. I don't know when that lever will be pulled for him to jump up as pinch hitter. But my red tree, Robin Paul went four. And then we saw Matthew Ford with pads on. Some people believe that should be Jason Holder.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that is another dynamic to watch out for. Matthew Ford, the all-rounder, he got some good scores behind him,
mm-hmm.
but instead of just batting at six or seven or finishing the game, potentially a move up the order to pinch it.
Well, Kiara's remember in 2016, rammed in, had on his pads and his gloves. And Stuart Williams look at you and say, no, Carlos, you. So it could easily had been rammed in out there in the middle and not you. So you never know these things.
I ran past rammed in. I look at rammed in move. So that was, like, you've got to read the game. And that's one thing I know about our team that I hope this team has. And it looked so because when I looked down from the commentary box and I even had a stint pitch side, a lot of men were in the dugout. And they had a lot of conversations flowing. I thought that was really good because the game changes so quickly from over to over, from ball to ball. The fact that so many men were there and like engaged, it made me feel as though if the game or the tide were to change, they wouldn't be caught unawares. And then boom, straight away, Matthew Ford ran and was padded up. He had on the pads from about the seventh, eighth over. Whenever Rodman went in, he went and padded up and come and sit back down straight away to the end. I think he only got in with four balls to go in the last over or something. So that was one of the keys for us. Me, Ashley, yourself, Jace, we'd sit there and we'd basically live every single ball from the first ball all the way to the last. And that's something that I saw with this current team. So I salute them for that. And I hope that's something that they carry throughout the tournament because the games move quickly.
All right.
It's why in South Africa too. Even in the training, you could see clearly attempts being made to tighten the group, get the group stronger and closer, and to do a lot more. I mean, Hetmyer has completely changed his routine in preparation and the way he has approached everything. If you looked at the when he went to number three in the second game at Centurion, he played a good innings. He got 70 odd, but Maharaj only went for 1-4. And that was because Maharaj came on and bowled him wide the off stump. So the ability to hit down the ground was ruled out because Maharaj was forced him to hit skirty wicket, eventually got him caught down there. And Hetmyer for the next game at the Wanderers changed his batting position. He changed his stance. He was a little bit more, he didn't commit to the front foot too early. He was very, very, he gave himself a lot more leverage. And he was able to get back and cut behind square this time rather than in front of square. And he was able to pounce on anything, get down the ground and smash it out the ground. So you can see that dynamism, as Carolus said. You can see the desire to change. I'm not sitting here and say they're going to win the World Cup. This is a very, very tough World Cup. They got some seriously good teams in this World Cup. And because the margins are getting closer and closer, it's going to be very, very, very difficult. The team that wins this World Cup is going to have to play to their skins. But I think the West Indies have shown us A lot of movement forward, a lot of development in the last 6 months or so, and I think they're a good bet for the semifinals. I put my hat.
Ooh, that's a big call. That's a big call, Phil.
I put my hat that if they continue with this level of focus, because they're focused, but the skills, we never lack the skills. They seem very, very focused.
Mm-hmm.
And I put my hat that the West Indies are a good bet for semi.
Oh, my God.
Let them continue to fly under the radar, Spoons, though. Put the pressure. Let them fly under the radar.
As two-time winners with a two-time winning captain, they can't go under the radar anymore, Carlos. They will emerge. When they beat England tomorrow, they're going to catch everybody's imagination.
Wow, Philip, you're making a big call. Dr. Ford is saying the stats don't support what you're saying.
I don't think results support that. And we're talking about two-time winners some time ago. And I think we become a bit too nostalgic about cricket. But the thing is, if we accept that England is the team that's expected to win the group,
right?
Do you guys think that we should just be aggressive and go down with our
who's accepting that England is the team to win the group?
Well, their ranking in T20 cricket suggests that they are far ahead of us, being many spots ahead of us. Probably, I think they're two or three, and we might be seven. So, I mean, I think the rankings and the stats and the results support that. Mm. But if we look at that and we put some credence in that, what I'm saying is, should we really go forward and just be out and out aggressive and saying that we have nothing to lose and we should just play positively, emphatically, and just go for it?
Mm.
Well, that's the only way to play. That's how you play. You go to the front and look to improve your position. You can't play waiting.
That's not the brand of cricket we've been playing, though. You must admit.
Well, we got to play. This is the World Cup, dog. There's $3 million top purse. I mean, you're gonna hang around and wait for somebody to encourage you to be positive. Mm. I mean, you $3 million changes lives. And the glory and legacy of being a world champion is something that you have to go for. You can't hold back and wait and see what other people are doing. You got to play your brand. You got to go to the front and improve your position. And that could only mean going and winning it. So, I mean, these things change lives. These things change perspective. These things legacy. So there ain't nothing to wait for. You're here. It's now. There's nothing else to do but go and win it.
Mm. Carlos, you're saying something?
I hope that nobody ain't up at 10 to 5 in the morning in the dressing room listening to this, because this is exactly what you hear a lot of professional sportsmen and women talk about, the process. Because, Doc, what you've spoken about there with rankings and favourites, and then Spoons with purse and almost changing... this is what you sound like to me, and it could be wrong, but we can change how we want to play, and we can play this way because we have nothing to lose. But then, if you're looking to win, and there's only one team in your group in England that you feel is better than you, how much other teams, like when you get these Super 8s, how you can't change everything for every game. So this is where you got to plan properly before the tournament, have a way of playing and a set of processes. And yes, those can change from time to time, depending on our position, composition of the team. It could change, I guess, if you need to win by a certain amount because of net run rate, those processes change slightly. But you always got to have a base of how you want to play, how you want to go about your cricket, and it can't flip-flop between game to game, team to team. So hopefully those narratives aren't in the dressing room. And I know that now I've crossed over into media, I have to support those narratives because it's good build up to the game. But I would like to think that they look at England as another game, and you plan for England accordingly. How can we platform our players to the best of their ability whilst using them to efficiently go against what England want us to serve up? And that's kind of the conundrum that you find yourself in more often than not. How much do you stick to your game plan versus trying to upset the game plan of the opposition, regardless of ranking, regardless of purse? That should be the plan of every game.
All right, gentlemen, just let me take a commercial break, and we're going to come straight back to you, Philip. I see that Toppers has got his hand up as well. Interesting discussion. We also have some calls backed up as well. Okay, 441790 is the call number. Mason and Guest, Broadden Association with the good friends at Berger Paints for lasting beauty and protection.
Looking to refresh your troll finish? Well, look no further. Berger Brushing Solution is exactly what you need. This low-odor, fast-drying paint solution is a great way to renew and repaint in any color on interior and exterior textured surfaces. Available in coral stone and any shade from the color library. Visit the nearest color shop or hardware store to express yourself through color. Berger Paints, for lasting beauty and protection.
All right, just before I come to you, Spoon, someone has been holding for a long time. Let's go and take our first call. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest. Hello, welcome, 441790. Call is there. Ken? Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest. Hello, welcome.
Good night, sir.
Good. Oh, it's Anton. How are you?
Fine, thank you, sir. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good night to your panel as well.
Yeah, good night. Say a special good night to Mr. Carlos Brathwaite.
Good night, Mr. Brathwaite.
Good night.
Go ahead now, Anton.
Well, sir, I thought West Indies played very well in their first match, especially Shepherd. I want to give him a special applause for another hat trick and a career best. And also I want to give applause to Mr. Shimron Hitmeyer. I feel both of them handle pressure very well, and hopefully tomorrow we could triumphant over England.
Mm-hmm, I see. Anton, would you make any changes?
Yes, sir.
What would you do?
I will go save for Ruston, Chase, and David.
So you're bringing in Ruston, Chase, and you're leaving out Hussein?
Yes, sir.
Why would you do that? What's the thinking there, Anton?
Sir, because Akil Hussein is really not at his best. Mm-hmm. So I want him to just stay on the sideline for one match to see what he could better do. Because right now Akil Hussein is the 11th best T20 bowler. He does not have any other thing except for his arm ball, and people are starting to pick that said arm ball.
Mm-hmm.
So he needs to work on a googly and better more variations.
Oh, I see. So you're a little concerned about his bowling now?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. I see. Are you going to be watching the game tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
Well, of course, there's no school tomorrow, 9:30 in the morning. Of course, you're going to have a good night's rest and watch the West Indies tomorrow, huh?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any question for Carlos, your fellow Combo Marion, before you go? Do you have a question for him?
Yes, sir. I want to ask him one question.
Sure.
How was it like for you on the 2016 final, when you were on strike for the final over in the finals against Ben Stokes? What were you feeling?
Good question from the young man. Carlos?
I was a little nervous, to be honest. Ooh. Script was supposed to be that Marlon Samuels get a single off the last ball, and then he win the game. I wasn't supposed to be on strike. And then Jordan bowled a dot ball, and I ended up being on a strike. So I was a little nervous. To be honest, at that point in time, you could cross over. If you hit the ball in the air, you get caught. Once you cross in the middle, the other batsman could be on strike. So my role was to try to get the ball in the air. If it go for six, happy days. If it doesn't, I cross for Marlon, and Marlon finish the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then 4 balls later, we were champions. So, yeah, I guess at that point in time, you just try to stay in the moment. Regardless if you're nervous, if you're excited, your feelings don't really matter. It is the ball that coming down. If you're batting with the ball as a bowler, is the ball in your hand that you're about to bowl, and you try to stay present, stay in the moment, and execute.
Mm-hmm. Anton, you're happy with that?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, all the best to you. Get some rest tonight, and of course you'll be listening and watching tomorrow and listening as well.
I just want to tell you that I also met Mr. Brathwaite once at Kensington.
Oh, you met Carlos at Kensington?
Yes, That's when the Prime Minister invited me for the 2024 World Cup to that England against.
Okay. So y'all were in the same box, in the same box at the time?
Yes, sir.
Mm. And you went up and said hello to Carlos? Did you did that?
Yes, sir.
Did you shake his hand?
No, sir. I was really asking him about a bat, if he had any bats available for my surge.
Okay. Carlos, do you remember that conversation? That's so long ago. Young Anton, do you remember him?
Yeah, that was long ago. And Anton, I barely got enough bats for myself. Now I don't play as much anymore. So I would pass you on to Errol Eady.
Yes.
He's the man that made the bat that I use in the World Cup final. So, and that's homemade, homegrown. So look no further.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Have a good night, everyone.
All right. Thank you. Always good to hear from the 13-year-old. Yeah,
enjoy the game tomorrow.
Right. Okay, let's take a couple of calls. We can. Hello. Welcome, Mason and Guest.
Yeah, good night, Andrew.
Good night to you. Yeah.
I remember the name where he tell you to do that.
Mm.
But anyhow, we cannot afford to lose. We either got to beat England or Nepal in order to qualify.
Yes.
We have to do that. We can't afford to lose to those two teams.
Yes. I agree with that.
But that is what we have to do. Otherwise, we're going to get put up the World Cup in these Super... We ain't even going to make these Super 8.
Mm.
We cannot afford to lose to those two teams.
No, you can't.
Not if you got to beat one of them.
I would think so. Yes, I would think so.
That is all I have to say, and keep up the good work to the panel.
All right, thanks. Let's try and sneak a couple more calls in. 441790, the call number, as it heads to what time is it now? Just about 29 minutes past here of 7 o'clock. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Good night, Mr. Mason.
Good night to you, sir.
How are you keeping?
Good.
Good night to you and the listeners. Mr. Mason, we're doing well. I hope Hepmer keep making runs.
Yes.
He ain't get a fair break from the time he done captain on the 90 team. Since he captain on the 90 team, I don't think he captain the last year. Never had a good chance. And let's call him out, just no name, that get all fear for the West Indies.
Who's that?
Martin Samuels.
Okay.
He ain't get a fair break not at all. Mm. But you got to treat people right. You say Hepmer maybe doing some little things that they're right, but he ain't get a good neither.
Mm-hmm.
Hepmer should be one of the West Indies captain.
Mm,
you can't follow captain with a boy. You know, you get a man, you can't captain a team.
Mm-hmm.
Something wrong. Mm-hmm. I wish the well, and I hope the other guys will do some catching.
Right.
And we want men to bowl the ball, start bowling some long hops.
Right.
Bowl got to get back. We can beat anybody.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, thanks.
Proof.
Okay, thanks for your contribution. 4241790. The calls are coming. Let's try and take a couple more. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Very good night, Your Honor.
Good night to you. Is that Rawl?
Yes, it is.
How is Orange Hill?
Orange Hill is reasonably well.
Good.
Reasonably well.
Mm-hmm.
They had it on paved road for some years, and now it has been paved.
I see that. Just before the elections.
You're not including it. You hope not.
No, not at all. It is a fact.
I'm right pulling your leg.
Yeah.
I'm reading your hand. Is there any word on Mr. Riley? You found him? Or?
Yes. Yeah. You know, he was, missing for a little bit, but he's safe and sound now, good old Condé. And we are very, very happy. We were concerned, but we're all happy. A wonderful man is Condé Riley.
Right. He did his bit.
Yes.
So, I was wondering if he would, but I have to rush off to the political scene.
Oh.
So I regard you, sir.
All right, okay.
Don't quiz me, please.
Okay, no. Where are you going, sir? Where are you going? Are you going to Hackett Hall or are you going to Bay Street?
I know. I did that deliberately.
Good, fine. We can take a couple more calls. We can. Hello, welcome, Mr. and Guest. Hello, welcome.
Good night.
Good night to you, sir.
I want to start by saying England and the West Indies, all three of them should have lost the first game. Because people underestimate these things, but I tell you, Nepal, mark today's day, Nepal can beat the West Indies. Moving on. I'm going to say something that is going to shock you guys. You see Dan Sammy? Dan Sammy proved to be the smartest captain the West Indies board ever hired. And I'll tell you why I say that. Dan Sammy realized to keep the job, you got to lose. And that's what Dan Sammy is very good at. Picking a bad team. Now, you see, if you look at the team, Everybody scored more than we. We all scored 33 in the World Cup. Now, when you go into the World Cup, you cannot leave out the guy from the opener.
Who's this?
From Charlton. Charlton.
Kyle Mayers?
Yeah. Brett Mayers. You leave out Kyle Mayers, and you leave out the Trinidad opener. We had nobody at the top to get me a start.
But they got hope, but you have hope in King?
Yeah, but then can't get rid of the ball. That's
oh,
what I'm saying.
Okay.
You want somebody to get rid of the ball at the top that you will start.
Right.
Now you end up with 180 yards. With somebody that get rid of the top, you could easily have 220. There's a big difference between 220 and 180.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you have from 2012, every time we win and we come home, we get rid of the captain. We get rid of the coach. But Sammy continued to lose. That is why he said he's the smartest man. Mm. He realized to keep the job. You've got to keep losing. So he's not picking a winning team. And we guys just stay lost in the answer to this. The biggest problem in West Indies cricket perhaps is the board. You can't got people winning and treating them like that and come back and bring these people. I'm going to say tomorrow. The West Indies can get beat tomorrow.
All right.
You know what? When you look at the West Indies and you look at the whole setup. We ain't got the only deaf ball we got there right now is Shamar Joseph. And I hear somebody talking about dropping Shamar. You cannot drop me. We looking for too much batting. And then the batting fails me in trouble.
Right.
I hear all you guys saying tonight that the West Indies best chance is batting last. Batting last is still Calvin or King White. If the West Indies bowls first and bowl out the opposition for 100, the West Indies bowling is not poor enough. It's not strong enough to get the same 100. Because if they got the first ball attacking the competition, and if people score 100, that means they get ball up for 50. Have a good night.
All right, good. Thank you very much indeed. I just want to, what was that? Do you have another call? Oh, okay. Can we take another call? Or commercial? Oh, all right. Let's do another commercial. When we come back, I want to go to Carlos and to the rest of the members of the panel about Sheho opening the batting. Do you think he should open the batting? Because I know he used to bat in the middle. He's at the top along with King. I wonder if there are any concerns. I also want to talk to Carlos about that England-Nepal game. I mean, I watched it. What a game. Nepal really in the end perhaps should have won the game. What a game. And we want to look at why these teams like Nepal and the United States and Ireland and to a lesser extent Scotland are competing with the big guns, so to speak. Mason and guests brought in association with the good friends at Berger Paints for lasting beauty and protection.
Choose performance that lasts. Choose Berger, made in the Caribbean, formulated to provide superior weather resistance in harsh tropical conditions. Guaranteed to protect against and deter fungal and algal growth to meet the needs of residential and commercial spaces. Berger transforms your spaces with a wide selection of colors in brands you know and trust, built to withstand that busy lifestyle. Virtually odorless, thousands of colors, premium performance are at your fingertips when you choose Berger. Berger Paints, for lasting beauty and protection.
All right, just over 20 minutes left on the show. Let's go to Carlos, and then we come and take a call. Carlos, do you like Sheho at the top? Carlos?
I think that decision is one in a bigger one. As I say, I thought it was a positive move. If you were kind of hedging your bets, you would say, man, Johnson Charles open and Shea by that tree unless Shea controlled your middle order. I think putting Shea up to the top and allowing Hetmyer, Rovman, I feel like I'm missing somebody, Rutherford. Just having all them men able to stack one against the other and give them the responsibility to play, I think, is a positive move. But with that positivity, then Brandon King and Sheho need to show some intent. You can't say you're making a positive move on the face of it, but then when you actually be practical and you look at the execution of it, too, you're also dropping anchor in the power play. So from that standpoint, you're kind of working against the plan. It would then make more sense to have, let me man say on the call just now, Evan Lewis, Kyle Mears, Johnson Charles at the World Cup, somebody that can take the power play head on and get rid of at least 45 in the power play and then allow Shea to come in and drop anchor. But I don't think you could drop anchor these days. I think everybody got to be able to play shots. You look at India, I hear watching back the replay, India was 73 for 5, end up scoring over 160, 170 against the US, or 180. Like, there is the ability for any of our players from 3 all the way down to 9 to play similar innings. So we can't take the power play for granted.
I see. Philo, would you open the batting with Shea Hope? Philo?
Andrew, it's what he said he wanted to do. He wanted to open batting. It is dangerous. The game against Scotland showed our vulnerability, Andrew. We watched the game. Actually, we did commentary on the game.
Right.
I had Mark could have been out the second ball he faced. If that bowler leaks up, put in a bigger effort, he could have taken that catch. And we would have been here talking and saying something different. But it's the position that he said that he wants to bat in, and he has to go there and know that the responsibility of laying that platform, getting into the power players with some kind of certainty and getting decent runs is important. And if he and Brandon King can afford a good opening partnership and a good opening pair, it can work. But as you know, Andrew and the rest of the panel, when you're a captain and you don't score runs, then it starts to affect you as a leader. That is what we don't want for Shea Hope. We want Shea Hope to score runs comfortably, so when he goes up there, he has a clear mind as a captain. And I hope that it works for him. That's what he said. He said he wants to do it. So my opinion doesn't really matter. It's what the captain wants. He gets.
Let's
hope that it works for him.
But the problem is, Philo, you don't really have much on the bench, in my view. I mean, you got a Johnson Charles, 67 matches, averaging 20. A bit of it, I'll miss. So I believe that when you look at a possible Johnson Charles open the bat and to get you off the start, he's going to make 10 and 12 and get out.
Yeah, but Johnson Charles, obviously, we know Andrew's not there, but he's there.
Right.
And I think that's one of the reasons why Shea Hope decided to open, because First of all, Johnson Charles' approach to batting to me is all wrong. I heard Carlos say he takes the power play by the bullhorn. It's not required. I think that Johnson Charles can bat a lot better than that and settle down. And if he can, he's in his twilight now. He's 37. This will be his last hurrah. And if he does get a player, I think he'll look to continue to put his left leg upside the leg step and swing to the left side. But you would like to see a Johnson Charles playing a bit more calculated batting along with Brandon King to help solidify. But because of that weakness in Johnson Charles at the top, Shea Hope has taken the responsibility upon himself to open, and we have to commend him for that. And let's hope that it worked for him at West Indies. Because we know if you get nicked off early,
yes,
Andrew, we're into that middle order.
Pressure.
And you're into that middle order early. So you got to be careful. We have to be very careful with Hope at the top. And he himself has to be aware of his massive responsibility at the top with Brandon King.
All right, let's take another call before we get a reaction from other members of the panel. Can we do that, Ken Husbands? Yes. Hello, Mason and Guess. Hello, welcome. We got.
Hello?
Yeah, hello. Hello, welcome.
Hello?
Yeah, welcome. Hello, welcome. Oh. All right, okay, the call is gone.
They were on.
Yeah. 4417 90. Let's go to Toppers and then we come back to Carlos and we're gonna go up to the other members of the panel. Nepal up against England. You had a scare there, good old Toppers. Oh. You could have lost it.
Yeah, more than that. There were one or two rooting for Nepal at the end. I thought they had a pretty good game, if we were brutally honest. Where they lost it was the last three overs. I think England got 45 when we batted. And I think that their expertise or their experience probably came unstuck there. But what they did when they were batting, and I thought they coped very well. And just at the end, they couldn't get across the line. The word of warning, I think it was one of your callers rang in. Listen, what might happen, whoever loses tomorrow, there is a strong chance that whoever loses tomorrow will need to keep an eye on their run rate. And the reason I say that is that second and third in the group could be on level points, and run rate will make a difference. And England didn't really get much positive run rate from the win over Nepal. So just a word of caution.
Interesting. Why is it, Carlos, that these teams are competing? I mean, Nepal, they beat the West Indies, USA, you know, with a bit more luck, could have beaten India. You've seen Ireland and then Scotland. What are they doing right, Carlos?
I actually think this is one of the areas that franchise cricket has improved international cricket. If you look at the USA, they have MLC. The UAE have ILT20. Canada has GT20.
Mm-hmm.
I had the honor of doing Nepal Premier League. So a lot of these players now are playing franchise tournaments around the world, but then they're also able to welcome seasoned international players into their local franchise tournaments. So, for example, in Nepal Premier League, you had Faf du Plessis, Martin Guptill, you had Trumpelman, Darcy Short, Chris Lynn. So they've got enough names there that a fella can learn something. And one of the things that I pinpointed with Nepal when I was there is that power hitting. So the ability to close out a T20 game is going to be a struggle for them. They would thrive more in lower scoring games where they can stay on top of the rate. But as soon as they get to 12s and 13s or over, whereas a West Indian will see that as two sixes and a single, they would need to see that as maybe three fours and a single. That's four balls. If you might ball three good balls in the over, you're doomed. So for me, the power hitting for them is going to be important. And you can see all the smaller territories, they have that one thing that is a glaring expose. Like, they need to do this, they need to do that. And I think that's why we now need to give them more exposure against full member nations outside of World Cups. Because if you look at somebody like Netherlands, when Netherlands beat England in, it was 2014. I think it could have been 2014. But when Netherlands beat England, and back then Netherlands was an associate, they were up and coming.
They beat them as far back as 2009 at Lords.
Yeah, you're right.
It's 2026 now. They're still an associate up and coming. So what are we doing to really grow the game? Like, it is a 20-team World Cup. And yes, we've had a few one-sided games, but we've also had a few cliffhangers from associates really pushing the more fancy nations. We can't be a global game like football is unless we get we accept that big teams can miss out on World Cups. If you look at past football World Cups, Netherlands would have missed out, Italy would have missed out. Like, the big names that miss out. So then that puts more of a focus on qualifying. That puts more of a focus on every single game. You translate that to cricket. There's so many dead rubbers in cricket bilaterally. Like, if you get a 2014 tournament, an investment goes into all these smaller nations to bring the cricket up to a certain level, and you have more teams having that rite of passage, like how Afghanistan basically crop up in the last 6 to 8 years and gone on to semi-finals and whatnot. If you get four more teams doing that, imagine the sort of pressure that West Indies is going to be under. Your Sri Lankas, your Bangladesh, Pakistan. They don't just get a free pass anymore. They're going to work for it, and the game need that. So this tournament is going to be very important. Scotland is going to carry it. Nepal is going to carry it. I could see the US or Canada upsetting somebody as well. And we need those upsets to prove to the world that there are teams beyond their top 10, 11, 12 that need investment, need support, and they need cricket against full member nations outside of just World Cups to adequately prepare them. Because they get a sniff of it from franchise cricket. That's why they are as good as they are. You can look through any of the associate nations, and like 4 to 5 of them would be household names for the people that watch franchise cricket. So you're talking your T10s, you're talking your ILTs, all that sort of cricket. People know these. Like, watching the India USA highlights now, and there's house playing for the US and opening, he's a household name. Nick Travalka come up with CPL. So because they're getting exposure to franchise cricket, that's raising their game. Now, how can you get them exposed as a team playing more full member nations, which would improve the team as a whole and not just individual players.
I think Carlos, what you're pointing to is that the ICC isn't really doing enough to share the pie and to develop the game and to spread the game and grow the game like FIFA has. And I think they've neglected the responsibility where that's concerned. And it's kind of stunted cricket and made it, you know, kind of too India-centric. So if they really want to preside over a growing, successful sport, they have to really find another way to deal with the finances.
Carlos?
Doc, they will tell you, though, that if 80% of every dollar is generated in India and if potentially 99 cents in every dollar can be generated in India, then they'll tell you, you know, we've got to protect the Indian interests. You just looked at the almost possibility of the... I'm not saying I agree with this, yeah? You almost had the possibility of the India-Pakistan game being abandoned, and that would have cost the ICC in excess of $1 billion. That could not have been allowed to happen. That game must be played. The entire revenue of the tournament revolves around India playing Pakistan. So Pakistan, it wasn't just a threat. It was a statement that they were not going to play the game. You saw how quickly that was resolved. So cricket and cricket lovers also have to be realistic about the environment in which cricket operates and understand that while we not always thrilled by everything being India-centric, we got to be realistic and recognize that 99 cents in every dollar is made in India. And I'm not agreeing.
But they've lost control and they've given it to India. They can't, it doesn't seem like they can get it back. And they've put themselves in a weak position to be leveraged. And, you know, they've just left.
It's an awkward dilemma that the ICC will continue to face for a very long time.
I mean, as someone that lives in the United States that has seen this story play out, I really, it bemuses me because we had a situation here where big market teams dominated the professional leagues for the exact reason India's dominating, because they were the bigger markets, so they got the most of the spoils. What happened? Small market teams were almost going bankrupt, losing their players. Once they shared the pie equally, we saw more competitive professional leagues in the United States. So that thing about India, as far as looking at the history in the United States, is nonsense. India in their bilateral series, played in India, they make gobbles of money. Nobody else don't make that kind of money in bilateral series. So they keep that money. But when it comes to the rest of the world, they should be splitting the money equally. And as someone who lives in an associate nation, the ICC has done a very, very poor job in spreading the game around the world. It still continues to be this small cabal of nations playing cricket, and they parrot, oh, we want to make it a global game. But their moves have never been as such. It's all just talk.
All right, Jeremy, we've got 10 minutes left in the show, so we're going to move on quickly. Carlos, someone is saying, Carlos, what about Hetmar opening with Brandon left-hand, right-hand combination? He has shown he can clear the boundary, he's positive, and the field restrictions will be advantageous. I think Hope is tired, hasn't had a break since Australia last year. That's someone with a WhatsApp to you.
I disagree.
You disagree?
I would disagree. Yeah, you got to be mindful of the last 12 months as well, not just one game.
Right.
So you do get left hand, right hand. Hetmar has been batting at 5 and 6 and playing a finisher role throughout all his franchise for the last maybe 3 years, not even 12 months.
Right.
And the mindset shift to go and bat at 3. I know it sounds minute. And Philo as an opener might be able to say going from opening to batting at 3 or batting at 4.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's his thoughts on it, but it might be big for him or not. But I know a lot of players to shift from training for 3 years to bat maybe 8 overs to now having 18 overs potentially is a mindset shift. So now he's been successful there, I wouldn't shift him. I think the onus is on two of the senior players, all format players, mm-hmm. in Hope and King, to get it right. I wouldn't want to move one piece of the puzzle that's working to then potentially mess up both pieces of the puzzle, when you could just, an easy fix is to show more intent. Now, more intent may still end up at only 40 for one, mm-hmm. but at least if there's more intent, we got more chance again closer to 60. If there's no intent, you can stick at 33, 35 after you power play and not even much games. So my short answer to that would be, I don't agree. I think Hetman should stay at three, but the captain and Brandon King need to show more intent in the power play.
All right, we got another 4 minutes left in the show. Let's start to go around the table. England versus the West Indies. Philo, let's start with you. Can we win it? Talk to me, Philo.
Actually, we don't have any choice. We have to win. West Indies have to beat England. They have to put the puzzle together. I agree with Carlos. It makes no sense bringing Hetmeyer from 3-1 or 2, leave him at 3. He just moved from 6-3. It makes no sense. The openers, the two specialists, let them go there and lead from the front. The captain, the responsibility, and the confidence, and I have West Indies to beat England.
Oh, West Indies to beat England. What about you, Toppers?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. England to win. Close game. But West Indies should not be frightened.
Mm. Doc?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm a rankings guy. I'm a results guy. England have more weapons. More ways to win. Our only way to win is to either make a huge score or maybe hope that England falls as a batting team. So as much as I love the West Indies and I'm a West Indies guy, I still expect England to win. But I love the upset in my books.
Basil.
You guys aren't listening.
Basil.
I tend to lean where Doc is saying. But, you know, on a given day, if the West Indies... Firstly, we have to bat last.
Okay.
We cannot bat first. If we bat first, I don't think we're going to win the game. So the toss is going to play a role. Mm. But, you know, as Topper said, I don't think West Indies will be scared of England. They've played them well. England has gotten the best of us lately. Mm. But... I as a West Indian fan, I'm looking for them to win the game, but I am not that confident.
So therefore, you're saying England will win then? After all the talk, after all the talk,
I give England the
edge. Well, then say that, Basil. Philip,
I think it could come down to individual battles. I see a big win between Hetmeyer and Adil Rashid. Can Hetmeyer take down Rashid? Can Rashid outspin Hetmeyer? That will be an interesting battle. The opener against Jofra, how well can we get off to a flyer against him? Jofra is pace, and he can be lightning quick on his day, but you never know. Can Brandon King play those authentic, lovely hits down the ground and get after it? Is Shepherd good enough to take down Butler? You know, is Jason Holder good enough to bowl a top spell, you know, and rip out Harry Brook? I think it could come down to individual battles, but it's going to be a big game under pressure. The Wankie is not a player for cowards, so somebody could come away tomorrow a hero. And I believe, if we look into my crystal ball, I see Rutherford being the key man with 60 needed or 5 overs with West Indies batting second. I think it could come down to the individual brilliance on the day, but it's really set up the World Cup really well, and I'm glad to see India and Pakistan is back on. World Cricket needs that game, and World Cricket needs more India versus Pakistan. So if somebody could, with negotiating powers of Ban Ki-moon or Boutros Ghali, could get India and Pakistan together and go and get them to play some more cricket. You know, but tomorrow, I bat West Indies to win a very close game.
Oh, Carlos! Carlos, talk to me.
The head says England, if I'm being brutally honest, but the heart still say West Indies. I think I'm supporting West Indies regardless of what we think they'll win. But it's a difficult proposition. I feel like if we get past England, that could bulletproof the tournament for us. I don't think if we lose to England, we can lose too much momentum. But if we win, it would be a serious sign. And then we talk about 2016, no time. I remember Gayle getting that 100 and we... Harry England, and then everybody was like, maybe they are a decent team. And I think the feeling could be similar if West Indies win tomorrow. But the head says, yeah, England probably has too much firepower.
No, Carlos, before you go, we're going to let you sleep. I know it's way past the bedtime. We really appreciate your coming on and talking to us on Mason and Guest. In terms of Italy, I mean, you would have seen them. I mean, it's interesting to see Italy footballers. They love their pasta and all that. I mean, Italy playing cricket, how did it look when you saw them?
Yeah, well, firstly, they need gym now because they better start getting back to sleep. It's 5:30.
Okay, 5:30. Okay.
Italy. So I got a personal interest in Italy as well. Tommy Draca, met him at GT20.
Okay.
He flew himself to Barbados to train with JG Fitness. Twice actually, and he played for Wilde for a game. He was working with Shabazz Chowdhury, and I know a couple of other guys, Ben McNenty from Sydney Sixers. So it's been a really good story for me. The bad part of that story is that Joe Burns isn't there to see his sacrifice realizing a World Cup dream. I think 2 or 3 years ago he made the switch to Italy and basically brought them in a leadership and as a batter all the way to the World Cup, and then fell up with the board. Very West Indian of him to do that just before World Cup. So for me, that's the only sad part of the story. But we were having a conversation about Italy, Scotland, and England playing. I wonder if it was the Cricket World Cup or the Football World Cup. So it'll be interesting to see how Italy goes. I think they do have a scalp in them, hopefully not West Indies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to see the Italian sporting industry getting behind them as well. We got a special video from Christian Vieri, legendary footballer, the motorsport team as well. So it's stories like that bring interest and fresh eyes to cricket. There'll be a few Italians who will be seeing cricket for the first time just to support their nation. So I hope they can do justice to the opportunity. They lost Madison on the first day, who will be skipper.
I see. Yeah, fair enough. All right, dude.
Game, but they got a few good stories in there.
Okay, 30 seconds. We got 30 seconds left on the show. Carlos, final question to you. Do you think the West Indies can win the World Cup?
Yes, but I'll say a no so I don't put any more pressure on them. Let me fly under the radar.
All right. Well, thanks very much indeed. We didn't quite hear what you said just now. Ken Husband rudely interrupted with the music there. What did you say again, Carlos, before we go? Carlos, you're saying the West Indies. Yes, say that again. Let me get asked the question. Do you think we can win the World Cup? Carlos, final? Is he gone?
He should still be there.
Okay. All
right. He won't talk.
Yes.
He said yes. All right, gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on Mason and Guest this evening. Thanks you, Carlos. Enjoy your time at the gym, 5:30 in the morning there in India. Ladies and gentlemen,
I want to give you 30 seconds.
Okay.
So you could talk about this $3 million. I wonder if Philo got any of that in his day.
No.
$3 million.
No, Philo got $3.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine? They're playing for $3 million. That's amazing, the money that they play for in cricket. Maybe Kane should come out of retirement.
Yes. Agree.
All right. Thanks very much indeed, gentlemen, for coming on the show. Always a pleasure to have you, Philip Spooner. Thanks to you, my very good friend there, Basil Butcher. Thanks to Philo Wallace, who's going to be, of course, voting tomorrow. Thanks to Doc, who's going to be voting tomorrow as well. Carlos, I'm sure you would have been here to vote, but, you know, Judy calls. I'm Andrew Mason. There's hoping for a better tomorrow. It's good night.